I'd ask you to please turn with me to the first book of Samuel, chapter 22 and verse 1. 1 Samuel, chapter 22 and verse 1. And that is page 331. 331. David, therefore, departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now God had granted David some amazing deliverances and successes in battles for the nation of Israel. And under God, as a young man, before he'd entered into a life as a warrior, David had killed a lion, a bear, and then as he entered his life as a warrior, the Goliath giant. And he destroyed thousands of the Philistine army under the sovereign judgment of God. And David was renowned in Israel as a mighty warrior. And many had sung his praises in the streets. King Saul had killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And so it was that King Saul became exceedingly jealous of David. An evil spirit entered this man, consumed with hatred and jealousy, which was as cruel as the grave. King Saul sought David's life. And here at the beginning of chapter 22, we have the record of David finding a secure refuge in Cave Adullam. And at Cave Adullam, we read that many resorted to David and sought refuge under his leadership. And David there was respected as a man of God. He was respected as a man of courage. He was respected as a man of inspiration. He was respected as a man who cared for people. He was a man who was greatly loved. And the secret behind David's leadership gifts were owing to the fact that he had been anointed by the Lord and he was helped of the Lord. Now, in many ways, David was a type of Christ who prefigures his wonderful work of salvation to the needy. So it is that in these verses, we're given a picture of David as a leader to whom those in need are attracted to. And I'd like to bring your attention to two biblical references which point us to this same theme as it relates to specifically the Lord Jesus Christ. That being people being drawn to him as a leader. So if we look at Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, the book of Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, and there we read a remarkable prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, that is Christ. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And of course, Christ said himself, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself, all types of people to myself. If I am lifted up upon the cross at Calvary, this will be like a magnet, the Shiloh magnet." Well, with David at Cave Adullam, we have a God-given picture of the ingathering of people to Christ as deliverer. And using poetic language, our text describes three types of people who came to David at Cave Adullam. those who are in distress, those who were in debt, and those who were discontent. Three types of people: those in distress, those in debt, and those who were discontent. Now, viewed from a spiritual perspective, these three descriptions accurately portray those that come to Christ, those who are welcome to come to Christ, those who will not be turned away as they come to Christ. It is true that if we have no sense of our need, there will be no point in our minds coming to Christ. But if the Spirit of God impresses upon our mind something of our state before God, then Christ will be sought. And so often the Spirit of God deals in conviction under these three main headings: debt, distress, discontent. And so I want to deal this evening in a very brief message in the way in which the Holy Spirit of God inspires the text here in 1 Samuel 22 and verse 2. These three characteristics. First of all, then, those who are in distress. Those who are in distress. Now, this word distress in the original has the meaning of you being oppressed. It has the meaning of you being compressed, squeezed. And those people that came to David at Cave Adullam, they felt enslaved. They felt trapped. They felt unwanted, trodden down, worthless, hopeless, oppressed. And the people that came to David had no doubt about their desperate state and condition. These people were burdened about their condition, and in their distress they came to David. And so it is spiritually for sinners coming to Jesus Christ. They come distressed over their condition. They come distressed because of the burden and guilt of their sin. They come distressed because they feel oppressed and they feel trapped and enslaved by the enemy of souls, Satan. And the truth has dawned upon them. They are not really free. They had thought they were free, but the truth has dawned upon them. Their hearts have been opened. Their minds have been enlightened to realize that actually they are not free. They are not fulfilled. They are actually enslaved. And in the end, this distress proves this great motivator to compel men and women to come to Christ, as these distressed souls went to David. Now, the Holy Spirit of God can actually use the distress of even of depression to bring us to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God can use the distress of despair to bring us to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God can use the distress of despondency about the futility of life to bring us to Christ. The Holy Spirit of God generally uses the distress of guilt to bring us to Christ in our need. In any event, as we are drawn through distress, we come with a realization that we are sinners before God and that we are totally dependent upon his grace and his mercy. Oh, those people that were coming to David at Cave Adullam, they recognized David was the leader. David was the captain. And they came to him to be their leader. They submitted to his authority in their lives. And they saw in David characteristics of a godly man. Oh yes, a man who was brave and courageous and successful in battle and yet having to flee for his life. A man that they could look to, a man they could respect. Oh, David was in many ways a type of Christ. And so we have this biblical picture in the Old Testament, which brings so many thoughts to our mind about the all-suitability, the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. Go to him in your distress. Or whatever that is distressing you this evening, whatever is in your pathway, Whatever God is allowing in your life or revealing to you in your life, causing even distress in your inner being, just go to the Lord Jesus Christ as your captain. Go just as you are. Go to Cave Adullam and find the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it is really a picture of Calvary. Go to Calvary and find the Lord Jesus Christ. But then their second characteristic is those who were in debt. Now, those who ran to David in debt possibly faced terrible repercussions and even imprisonment. You see, it isn't like it is now where those in debt are dealt with much more leniently than they were in those days. These people were fearful. But they were not only fearful, they were also ashamed of their debt. They realized their vulnerability. They realized their inability to sort this debt out. And this debt was not something they treated lightly. They couldn't get out another credit card and use another credit card. It wasn't like that. And they needed David's protection to help to overcome this debt problem and to sort it out. Now, David would not ever have undermined any lawful creditors. David would have helped them to sort their debt out. He was a gracious man. He was a godly man. And he would have helped them. But he would definitely defend them against debt oppression. Now, it was likely that the people in this context were being abused by aggressive debt collectors, charging extortionate rates, so it's actually impossible for them ever to overcome their debt. It just kept rising and rising and rising. The word being used here for debt in the original is in connection with a loan. It's likely that these people had come under loan sharks. Now, we know that debt is an issue that is on the lips of most people in this day and age. It is a problem that has to be dealt with. The nation's debt is staggering. It's getting worse, we're told, even. I understand the annual interest payment alone is well over £40 billion a year. Incredible, staggering. But this issue of debt reminds us of a far greater burden of debt than a financial one. It is a tremendous debt of our sin, a debt common to us all, rich or poor. Because out of Christ, we are going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, and we have no means whereby we can pay this debt. Even today, without Christ, you have got deeper and deeper into debt. And each day the account is getting deeper and deeper into the red, because each sin is known to the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit of God reveals to us something of the nature of this debt and our own inability to pay, we come to realize we need a person to help us. We need a person who can deal with the awesome debt of our sin. Well, we find it in the person and in the work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We read in the Bible that he is able to save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God through him. He's able to save unto the uttermost. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. With God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. No. This great debt can be dealt with through the wonderful redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. But then a third characteristic this evening is those who were discontented, distressed, in debt, and discontented. Now, these discontented people had been dealt harshly by King Saul, who now, in his state of mind, was becoming irrational. He was becoming harsh. And these people had been driven to despair. And in the attested stress, they had no one to turn to but David. Saul himself was beset with an evil spirit which drove him to distraction, and he took this problem out on others. He'd become something of a tyrant in his leadership style, even turning against his own son, Jonathan. But there may have been those that also came to David, not because they were discontented about the whole situation with Saul, but maybe those who were simply discontented with their situation. I'm using the word discontented here in a positive sense, because we are told to be content with such things as we have. But I'm using this in the sense of way in which we are stirred up in our souls about our situation. These people had no peace of mind. They needed direction. They needed a compassionate yet disciplined leadership. And it is clear that David received these people, and through his influence, their lives were transformed. Now they had godly leadership. They had guidance. They had an example. They had purpose. They had hope. They were appreciated. They had fellowship. They felt to be part of a family. All these people, those that were in debt, those that were distressed, those that were discontented, they all gathered to Cave Adullam under one leader, David. And David led them. He didn't reject them. He didn't say, well, you're a no-hoper, you're a failure, you're so weak, you're a no-good to society. No. Under his leadership, their lives were transformed. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, let's turn in the Word of God on three chapters, onto 1 Samuel 25 and verse 14. Here is David being spoken to with Nabal's wife. One of the young men of David speaking to Abigail, Nabal's wife. 1 Samuel 25, verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. Now these are the servants of Nabal, and they are speaking to Abigail about the testimony of David's men. They were a wall unto us, both by day and night, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. What a testimony that was. These people who had come to Cave Adullam, these people who were in despair, these people who were in debt, these people who were discontented. Oh, what a family they were now. What a witness they were in and around the area. Oh, what a change David had made to them. What a change his godly leadership had made to them. Oh, so it is spiritually when we come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our lives are transformed from discontentment to contentment. We find our contentment in him. We look beyond our circumstances to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an example in Christ to look to. We have a church to join and to have fellowship with, to feel part of a family. We hope to be loved and appreciated and valued and useful and transformed by Christ. This is how things should be. In the biblical pattern in Christ Church. Well, may the Lord enable us to look to Christ this evening, to come to him, to trust in him. Now then, we have considered three aspects of the character of those coming to Christ in their need: those distressed, those in debt, and those discontented. And in Christ, as we come to him, our lives can be transformed in Christ Jesus. And then we read something in conclusion. David became a captain over them. David became a captain over them, a commander over them. David took responsibility for their well-being, for their security, for their provision, practically and spiritually. There were 400 men here that David took on in a very short period of time, and they all came with their problems. They all came with their difficulties, and he took them in, each one. And that's a wonderful picture of Christ. As we look to him this evening, we come with our problems. We come with our difficulties. And the Lord Jesus Christ receives us, just as the Father received the prodigal son and ran towards him and put his arms around him and kissed him in great mercy and love. So it will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually speaking. Well, these men, they responded to David with loyalty to their leader. They bowed to him and submitted to his authority. He was their captain. He was their commander. And they were inspired by his example, his strength and his wisdom. And as David was a type of Christ, as the captain and commander of his people, therefore we can look to Christ as our commander, as our captain, as our leader. Christ is described in the New Testament as the captain of our salvation. He is the commander of the army of the Lord. If you will turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua and chapter 5, the book of Joshua and chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. And verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, Art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, No, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Well, Joshua's question. God had commanded Joshua to be courageous. And as Joshua looked at this man, he wanted to know, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you on our side? And the issue is not so much as whose side captain of the host of the Lord was, but was Joshua going to submit to his authority? Joshua had to understand that there was one above him. Yes, he was the captain. He was the commander of the children of Israel. But there was one higher than Joshua to whom he must submit to. And this is a picture of Christ. And Joshua worshipped Christ. And the revelation of Christ to him humbled Joshua. He submitted to him as Lord. He fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? He was the commander of the children of Israel, the leader. But look at his language here. What saith my Lord unto his servant? I am the servant of God. And Joshua had to learn that his relationship with Christ was to be a holy relationship. For the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. He took his shoes from off his feet. Well, David came a commander over these men that gathered to him at Cave Adullam. And so it is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. He is the commander of our lives. And one of the great tests of whether we really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves is whether or not we were willing to bow before him as the Lord of our lives. Whatever God permits in our life, whatever God in his sovereign will permits in our life, are we willing to say, "Thy will be done, O Lord, on earth as it is in heaven." Thou art our commander. Thou art our captain. We look to the Lord. We submit to his will. We don't look to men. We only look to the Lord. He is our commander. He is our Lord. He is the captain of our salvation. And it's a wonderful blessing if God brings us to that point in our lives. And we cease from man and we look to the Lord and we trust in him and we trust in him alone. And we see more clearly that it is the Lord who is the captain of our salvation. Oh, these men had to see this for themselves. David became a captain over them. He was their leader. Well, those distressed, those in debt, those discontented came to David at Cave Adullam and they looked to him as their captain. And as captain, David was a type of Christ to whom distressed, debt-burdened, discontented sinners can go to and have confidence in our supreme commander, Jesus Christ, because Joshua and David, they themselves were mighty warriors under God, and they had confidence in their supreme commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's a wonderful thing if we can look to him this evening. That in the book of the prophet Isaiah, we read, "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." He is the commander. He will take responsibility for your life as you trust in him. He will stand for your eternal security. He will stand for you in the high courts of heaven above. He will speak to for you. He will intercede for you. He will ensure your forgiveness and reconciliation with God. He is your commander as you look to him and trust in him. Oh, what an encouragement there is here for needy sinners to come to Calvary. Oh, to come in your need and find you will not be turned away. But there's one greater than David, perfect one, who's ready to receive you and to lead you and to guide you ultimately to glory in heaven above. Amen.